you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, August 18th, 2017. Reading from Exodus chapter 2, verse 16. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters. Dun, dun, dun. I'm going to stop right there. That's a classic. It's almost like Once Upon a Time. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters. That could be a book. It is in a book. Actually, it's inspired scripture, the book of Exodus, and we'll continue our study through this book. Last week, if you were tuned in on Friday, we had Joey Kroll in the studio, so I don't think we ever really got into the book of Exodus, but we'll continue where we've left off, and these programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org, so if you desire to study through the book of Exodus with us, you can go back and listen to some of the many comments as we literally have gone word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, now into chapter 2, verse 16. Wow, a lot of things happening. Children are back in school. Esther started on Thursday. I think your boy and daughter, I guess, are going today, and Muhammad's in full force.
Yep. They are gone. It's like the first full day. Now we're just down to one again.
They started today, and then they're off for the weekend, and then they start up again on Monday. That's just kind of weird.
Yeah, and this week is always difficult at our house because my wife is all about the dry run. She's all about like making sure that when school actually starts, we're ready. Mm-hmm. So all week long, we've been getting up at 6.
Oh.
And so, and like, you don't just get to get up at 6. Like, you have to get up, make your bed, get dressed, brush your teeth, comb your hair, come down to the table, make breakfast. I mean, by 7:20, everybody has, like, been fed and watered, and everybody's like, well, now what do we do? Oh, now we're back on summer break still. You know, but it's like this dry run. And my wife in the morning, she loves to, like, she'll wake up, and she loves to pull the shades up and go, and she goes, wakey, 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 wakey. And you're like, do we like her? Yes. Do we really like her? Because in that moment, you're going, I don't think I like her that much.
I wonder if that's a thing. Holly loves to do the shades. I'm like, Holly, like it dark. Don't turn on the lights. It's the same at night. Just leave all the lights off.
Well, what's the point of that? Unless you're just trying not to make friends.
Yeah, a lot of traveling, people finishing up summer vacation. Yeah. We tried to fit in a special day the other day because Esther started on Thursday. So went to Bloomington to that Children's Museum.
Oh, did you like that?
Yeah, that was fun. Little diversion.
The one that's in the downtown, like right in that roundabout?
Yeah, right in downtown.
Oh, yeah, and that's a great place.
So we enjoyed that. It was that or the Children's Zoo. In fact, we had initially wanted to go to either St. Louis or Indianapolis, and then we thought, oh, with the radio work and other things and Esther getting into school, and then the event we had here on Wednesday night with the See You at Home, it was like, could I get back in time? And we just kept it simple and local and all is good, and we'll see
simple
what's happening.
Local.
Yeah. Hey, Esther's taking guitar lessons, so that's kind of, I should send her over to get a couple of freebies from you.
From me?
I'm having to pay for these.
Where's she getting guitar lessons at?
Jean-René Balakita, my friend from Congo.
Yeah.
He brings his guitar here at the Great News Radio Center. In fact, he has a couple other Chinese students. Some weeks back, a Chinese family and their son, I think he's about 10 or 11 years old, they saw the Corzine Music guitar, and he said, you know, basically I could tell he was telling his dad he wanted that guitar. And so he said, how do we buy this? And I'm like, oh, that's Dyke Corzine, Corzine Music. And he said, how about lessons? All to say that they became a part of the English conversation classes, and now his son takes lessons with Jean-René. So it's
Jean
kind of
René.
Funny. Yeah, Jean-René Balakita.
That's
so proud
a heck
of myself
name.
Being able to say that.
That's a really a good name.
So he has his guitar in here, and Esther got one of these.
I'm just Jason.
Esther purchased one of these Amazon guitars, I think, for like $30. She got one of these tiny little guitars.
Like
online.
The plastic ones?
No, this one's like a little bit of an upgrade, but it works and can be tuned, and that's what she's learning on. So She passed inspection.
Jean Renee says that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, Holly went in on two of them, and one of her friend got one too. So they're both using that to play their guitar. So as I'm here in the studio, I hear guitar music going on.
Plink, plink, plink,
yeah,
plink.
Yeah, clunk, D. F, D, F. So we have this priest of Midian who had seven daughters.
Yeah, seven daughters. Take your pick.
It's almost like one of those punchlines with the farmer and his daughters. Yeah. Did you used to tell those jokes? Yeah, we won't share it.
Not on the radio.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Was that like the teen days?
Do you just want to repent?
Yes. What
do you?
I did get the prayer in.
Even though you couldn't remember
that.
I couldn't remember it. I don't know what's worse, when you don't pray or when I forget that you prayed.
Yes. So here we are on a Friday, everyone.
It must be Friday. Yeah, you're right. So verse 16 of chapter 2, it says, "And now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the trough."
Hey, wait. Before we get here, how about backing up just when Pharaoh heard of this so they get a context of what's going on?
Oh,
maybe
okay.
Verse 15.
Verse 15? Oh. What do we have? We have Moses comes out. He looks upon his heart is moved. He looks upon the Hebrew people. He still has some connection to his roots. He still has some connection to who his identity is. And that's because divinely God had orchestrated that his mother would bring him up. His mother would help to raise him. And so even though he was raised, Acts 7:23, in the house of Pharaoh, was educated in all that Egypt has, he was strong in words and that, he still had a connection to who he really was, that he was really a Hebrew. And so he comes out and he looks upon their burdens. He sees this. He realized, I'm one of these people. And he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And the word here for the beating is beating unto death. And so this was a brutal beating. And so Moses comes to his aid and he kills the Egyptian. Now, we know that Moses isn't right because right before he kills the Egyptian, it says, it looks this way and he looks that way. And then he kills the guy and hides him in the sand. And so you have this. So as bad as that is, the next day Moses comes out and he sees some Hebrews and he says to the Hebrews, "Hey, I'm Moses.
How's it going, bro?"
Yeah. And those guys are like, "Hey, what are you going to come kill us too?" So what happened was, God didn't call Moses to come out and liberate the children of Israel one Egyptian at a time. And so in this moment, because God hasn't called Moses to come and to liberate the children of Israel, the children of Israel don't validate Moses as being their deliverer. So they say, wait, you come out to do this? It's such a way that here Moses, it says, was afraid that surely this thing was known. Surely, if these two guys know, everybody knows. And so not only does everybody know, but we see in verse 15 that Pharaoh knows. And so Pharaoh sought to kill Moses. He didn't even give Moses a chance to come in and talk about it. He didn't give Moses a chance to explain himself. Nothing. He just sought to kill Moses. And so Moses fled. Moses knew it. In his heart, he had to know that he wasn't right. Even though what he did seemed as though it was serving to save an Israelite, it wasn't what God would have him do. He was doing it his way, not God's way. And so he fled. And it said he went to Midian and he sat down by a well. This is interesting. It's almost a shadow or a foreshadowing of what happens with Jonah. Jonah goes by the broom tree and he sits down. You know, it's this kind of contemplative moment of like, where am I at in God's calling? And so that brings us to verse 16, where it says, "Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled troughs to water their father's flock. Shepherds came and drove them away." Now, this is interesting because what has happened in the verses before, Mark, when it came to somebody standing against the Egyptian and the Hebrew, what did Moses do to the Egyptian?
Killed him. Acted out of his own interests.
Yeah. Now, here, he doesn't kill the shepherds, does he? He stood up and he saves the women. He drives the shepherds away. He doesn't kill them. So already Moses has been humbled in a way. He acts differently than we've just seen him act. Now, we don't know the time span that this has taken. But we know that now he's acting differently. And it says, "When they came to their father, Reuel, he said, 'How is it that you've come home so soon today?' And they said, 'An Egyptian delivered us out of the hands of the shepherds and even drew water for us and watered the flock.'" So Moses is still, this is early enough in the time that Moses has fled from Egypt, that he still looks like an Egyptian.
Yeah, yeah.
He still is perceived as an Egyptian. Maybe even still acts and carries himself like an Egyptian.
Yeah, I'm thinking he probably still, if he was in his clothing from Egypt, dressed like an Egyptian.
Yeah, he might even have Egyptian clothing on. And so what I love is this, and we're gonna dive in here and kind of tear apart some of these words in a minute, but we want to get through the text just to talk about it. And he said to his daughters, where is he? Why have you left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. I love this because I think that he's saying, wait, you mean there's a good guy out there, a bachelor, and you guys let him go? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got seven daughters. And so I got to think that in Midian, maybe the good husbands were few and far between. Good men were few and far between. The other shepherds were trying to take advantage of them. So there isn't a good shepherd here. And yet Moses is a good shepherd. Now, always when we read the text of the Exodus, we're looking for the foreshadowing of Christ. And so here, Moses is going to become a shepherd. But already we get the inklings of him being a good shepherd, which is these shadows of Christ who comes and is the great shepherd. And so here we see that Moses comes in and eats with them, and he was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses his daughter Zipporah, and she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Gershom, for she says, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. Now, one of the things when we read this text, it seems like a pretty straightforward text. It seems like a pretty easy text to read. But one of the things that we have to wrap our mind around is Moses' father-in-law. Because in most of the other texts we read Moses' father-in-law, what's his name?
Jethro.
Yeah, it's Jethro. And yet here we don't have that name Jethro. We have the name Reuel. And so we have two names for Jethro. Now, some people have said that, well, is this a problem with the text? Is this some sort of inconsistency in the text? I don't think that it is. I don't think that it is at all. I think we have to get to the etymology of what the words mean. Reuel means friend of God. Jethro means excellent. And so I think just as your name is Mark Burns, you have two names. You have a name that somebody would call you formally, and then you have a name that someone would call you personally. I think that Reuel is his personal name. Reuel is his name that he's called. He's a friend of God. And then he has this name Jethro, which means excellent. And maybe Jethro is his more formal name. We're not exactly sure, but I think that the two-name rule applies here. But what I think is even more important is that the fact that there are two names for his father-in-law, because there's two functions that his father-in-law serves in the life of Moses. Hmm. Now, see, Moses was, based on Acts 7, we know Moses was educated in all that Egypt had. Moses was educated in all that Egypt could give him. But had all that education done Moses any good? Because when he was given the opportunity to do the right thing, he did the wrong thing. And so all that education didn't do him one lick of good. There was something that he needed to learn. And what did we say the last time we talked about Exodus is that the big struggle for Moses was doing it his way or doing it God's way. And so he needed to learn about God. And so isn't it interesting that he would come to the house of this man, Reuel, whose name means a friend of God, so that he could learn about God? He needed one of God's friends to teach him how to become a friend of God, to teach him how to become in relationship with this God, to understand. So much so that when we get to chapter 3 and he sees the burning bush, he turns aside because he recognizes that there's something about this God he's heard about present there. He understands that there's something at work here. So we've got Reuel, who is a friend of God, who's going to teach Moses something about what it means to be in relationship with God. But then he's got this name Jethro, which means excellent. Now, his father-in-law would have been what, Mark? He would have been what kind of man?
Well, if he was a friend of God, a spiritual man, a godly
he would have been
man.
A spiritual man. But what?
But he's a wise man too, because later on, doesn't Moses get advice from him about how to delegate authority and so forth? And I was thinking, when he heard there was an Egyptian out there, being a wise man, he's probably like, "Hey, we could network with that guy or our flocks." Or I'm thinking,
look at how you're always thinking. Yeah. We could network with him. Maybe he could bring pizzas to our conversational English class. I think this. I think that Reuel, Jethro, was a wise, I think you're right, wise, older man. And so there was wisdom there that Moses needed to be taught. Mm-hmm. Now this makes me think of Titus, in the book of Titus where it says in chapter 2, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-control, sound in faith and in love and in steadfastness." And so it goes on to say to be self-controlled. And so what was Moses lacking? Well, Moses killed an Egyptian, so he wasn't self-controlled. Moses was not sober-minded at this point in his time. Moses was certainly not sound in his faith. He may have been dignified from an Egyptian standard, but he wasn't dignified in how he carried himself and his character and his integrity. And Moses didn't know what it meant to love, to really love in a kind of sacrificial way. He knew what it meant to be a part of Pharaoh's household, which I have to believe that based on what was happening in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh's household was not a very loving place to be. You know, and so this older man, Reuel, a friend of God, who's going to teach him how to become a friend of God, who's teaching him about what it meant to be in relationship with God, who was also named Jethro, an excellent old man, an older man who's going to teach him what it meant to be sober-minded, to be dignified, to be self-controlled, to be sound in faith, in love, and to be steadfast. He's going to teach him some things that Moses is going to need to learn. Now, what's fascinating is that it's going to take Moses 40 years to learn these things. You know, some of us want our walk of faith to be so quick and so fast. We want to just snap our fingers, learn everything we need to learn, and then we're good. And yet when we read the Bible, we find out that people go through long stretches of learning what it means to follow God. And one of the things that I really take away from Exodus chapter 2 in these latter verses is God's faithfulness. His faithfulness and his grace to put exactly the person that Moses needs in his life to teach him what it means to be the things that God wants him to become. And not only that, I want to say this, that we don't discount this, because one of the things that Reuel and Jethro is going to need to teach him is how to be loving. And one of the great graces here is, what does God give him? God gives him a wife and a son. He gives him the very place where Moses is going to learn how to sacrifice. He's going to learn how to serve. He's going to learn how to love. And he's going to learn, ultimately, he's going to learn from well how to be a shepherd in the traditional sense of shepherding sheep and animals. But he's also going to learn how to shepherd a family. I tell people all the time that a church is essentially a family. And so if you can shepherd your family well, you can shepherd within the context of a church well. Church just becomes a really big family. And so Moses is given all the right opportunities, all the right things that God needs to use to form Moses into the man that he wants to be, that God wants him to become. And here's the fascinating thing, friends. Here is the fascinating thing for all those of you who are thinking right now. You're going, I want to become the man or woman that God wants me to become. You know what you need based on the Bible? You need some time. Moses needed 40 years. I don't know where you're at and how much time you need. And then what did he need? An older person, an older wise person's life. By the way, the book of Titus goes on to say, older women, walk alongside the younger women. Teach them what it means to be praiseworthy, to be pure, to be self-controlled. So Titus addresses older men and older women, and both of those criteria say, sow into the next generation, sow into those. So if there's those of you out there who are saying, I want to be faithful, I want to follow God, what do I need to do? I think you need to get somebody who in your life, who is a friend of God, who can help you work on the relationship you have with God, walk alongside you, pray with you, be bold enough to correct you. You need somebody who is older and excellent in how they follow God so they can show you what it means to be self-controlled and dignified. And some of that self-controlled and dignified is simply this: don't do that because I did that in 1960 and it didn't go well for me. And so I want you to do it differently because I messed it up. And then what's the second thing God gives them? God gives Moses a family. Because the greatest place that you can learn to sacrifice and to serve and to love is in your family. So many of us believe that the key ministry that we're going to do is somewhere outside of our driveway, and it's really not. The proving ground and the learning place for ministry is in the home. You know, look, at if you can teach your kids the Bible, you can teach older people the Bible. And that's something that I'm learning every day, that if I can teach my kids a piece of scripture and they get it, I can add Greek, add some Hebrew, add this, and teach it to older folk. But if you can do that in your family, if you can walk along faithfully with your wife and love her and cherish her and honor her, you are going to be able to walk along other people and honor them. Because let's just be honest, husbands and wives, we make each other nuts sometimes. And so if you can do that, so God gives Moses every single thing that he needs here, every single thing, and then time. 40 years. For some of us, we're so impatient where God is concerned. Like, when's God going to move? When's God going to move me to the next place? When's God going to do that? There's a quote, and I don't know who it's attributed to, that I've been carrying around in my back pocket for the last couple weeks, and it is this: when you can't see God's hand, you know, those seasons where God's working, but it's not fast enough for you, when you can't see his hand, you trust his heart. because you read the book, you know who he is, and you trust his heart. And for 40 years here, Moses is learning what it means to be a follower of God, what it means to love God, and he's learning what it means to sacrifice and serve his family. And therefore, he is getting prepared to be just the man that God wants to use to do amazing things. What's fascinating is that when Moses gets to the point of the burning bush and he's ready to do the thing that God wants him to do, Moses doesn't even realize that he's ready. You know why? Because his eyes haven't been on being ready. His eyes have been on being faithful and obedient. And so, friends, that's what we need to do. If we would expend more time being faithful and obedient, we would be shocked at the times that God calls us up to use us, because we'd think, oh, gosh, I'm ready. I didn't even know. But praise God, use me for your glory.
I'm thinking there's a song that has those lyrics. When you can't see his hand, trust his heart.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it's
maybe
a,
it's the song that I'm thinking of. Maybe popular. The song gets me, and I'm like, oh, but I heard it, and I just thought, what a great thing, because I've been in seasons of my life where I'm like, now, Lord, and then almost you can sometimes get frustrated and go like, why not yet, Lord? And he's going, just trust me.
You know, I wonder if also Moses' life is a picture of many of us. He had a godly mother. We know that from the text. She prayed over him, nurtured him. Mm-hmm. Then he gets in with Pharaoh and the Pharaoh's court and probably gets distracted in the wealth and the pampering and loses his focus on God, but knew his roots, you know, that train a child in the way he or she should go. And, you know, they won't depart from it. They'll return to it. And so now he's a teenager, a young man. And he goes out and he starts connecting maybe with his Jewish roots, his Israeli roots, and obviously in the flesh. And that's why God says, okay, I knew he's going to mess up.
Yeah.
And that's why he paired him up with Reuel. And, you know, again, this godly man, this man that had a relationship with God. And that's probably what Moses greatly lacked. And isn't it somewhere else where Moses had anger issues?
Oh, yeah.
Where I forget he was... You know, very wise, but distinctly says he was angry it was something that God had to work on him. But it looks like, you know, here Jethro, you know, was the person God wanted to use to disciple and mentor him. And
totally.
Yeah, these 40 years, I think that's the other thing, a takeaway from any of us that want immediate results.
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes it's going to be 40 years.
It's going to take time.
Yeah.
You know what? And that's because God is building into you and preparing you for something. And that takes time, all the kind of stuff that we have inside of us. You know, we can't fix that immediately.
Yeah.
And by the way, if we could, what would our dependence upon God be?
Right. We're impatient. And I think Larry Bunning used to say, I used to pray for patience, and then God had all this stuff come on me, and I'm never praying for that again. Amen, Larry. Brother. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.